Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
To be the champs, you got to beat the champs, and we didn't do it tonight.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There is no position in professional sports more in the spotlight than being a quarterback.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chiefs are chasing Josh Allen. He throws it up for grabs, and the pass is incomplete.
Anybody that's out there placing season-ending loss on the lap of Josh Allen is way off.
Earlier on the show, Chiefs center Creed Humphrey, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Coming up, former NFL executive Joe Banner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Joe Banner is going to join us. He's the one who called his shot about the Eagles and the Chiefs playing in a Super Bowl a second time. I mean, look at what's happened. Nostradamus will join us in about 20 minutes' time, just talking about some coaching hirings and things of that nature. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. You know, I really like Mike McCarthy, and I was genuinely concerned that if he wasn't going to stay with the Dallas Cowboys, would he get another job somewhere else? Would anybody sit there and think that his job with Dallas showed that he still has it and you should go and hire him? I thought maybe the New Orleans Saints would, but then we saw yesterday the gesture, which it is, to say he's focusing on the 2026 head coaching hiring cycle and will not coach in the NFL this season. Pelissero and Rapsheet went out and said that. And this guy has got a heck of a career in making the playoffs in Green Bay and Dallas, and is expected to be a strong candidate a year from now. And I only hope that that is the case. But if there's a job that's out there in the NFL of significance, like, say, the host of this year's Super Bowl and the New Orleans Saints, you're not focusing on next year. I think he has found out that he's not going to be the head coach of the Saints. That's the way this stuff works. You're seeing Cliff Kingsbury also removing his name. I think the Saints have made a decision, and they've let everyone know what the decision is, and is letting everybody put whatever out that they can put out there to help ease the pain or the way that it's spun.
Oh, this feels like a Jacksonville situation to me.
Well, it sounds like to me Kellen Moore is going to be the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and they're waiting for him. And he's interviewed. You just follow the path. He interviewed in person on Monday, which is what he was able to do after conference championship weekend is over. And now we're hearing Mike McCarthy is focusing on next year's hiring cycle. And you're seeing on the news stack and on ESPN.com that Cliff Kingsbury is going to stay put, which is great for the Washington Commanders. They're going to get like a Ben Johnson year going, right? Mm. The Lions got one more year out of Ben Johnson that they thought they could. So Jaden Daniels gets to have his continuity rolling on into year two. And that is big time news for the Washington Commanders that they get to keep Cliff Kingsbury in that role. And if they do it again next year, what we saw this year, then Cliff Kingsbury will also be a hot coaching candidate in the 2026 cycle. And I do hope, I don't know what Mike McCarthy will be up to this year, if he wants to do media, if he wants to get out there, or if he just wants to chill at home and, you know, and keep up on concepts like he did prior to the Dallas Cowboys reaching out to him. But, you know, 12 wins, 3 years in a row, and then what happened this year, coaching under the circumstances that he was able to coach under. You want to talk about pressure? You don't have a contract. Yeah. You look at your family in the face and the families of all your staff in the face going, I don't know. I have no idea how this is going to go. And then your quarterback has his hamstring ripped off the bone. It's terribly unfortunate. And I only hope for the best for him. But it strikes me like that the Saints have made their decision. Yeah. And the last head coach, have I missed it? Have they interviewed anybody else since Kellen Moore on Monday? And now it's coming out? And obviously they're not going to say anything right now. I mean, don't you remember the Cardinals were waiting till the end of the Super Bowl in their hometown, by the way? Until they hired Jonathan Gannon from the Eagles. And that's what this is what it looks like to me. Looks like Kellen Moore is going to go to the Gulf South, and he's going to be your next head coach of the New Orleans Saints, if I had a guess right now. It'd be a surprise if it's anything else.
There's something I don't get, and I'm sure maybe you can help me understand this. Like, Chris, we know that the Chiefs, they're the best team in football, right? So, theoretically, they have been. And if you want to beat them, you have to try to weaken them, right? So why wouldn't anyone try to get their defensive coordinator as a coach? I haven't heard his name, Steve Spagnuolo. I haven't heard that name up for any jobs. Like, I would try to get him away from the Chiefs just to try to, like, make that house a little weaker.
It is the most amazing thing, isn't it? That like, nobody's rated that coaching staff.
Right? Like, if you know this is the team, and obviously on the field you can't beat them, and everyone's saying the refs are got their back too.
Oh,
so
whatever.
I'm just saying, that's what everyone's saying. You want to kind of cripple them a little bit.
I don't know why you guys make me the one to have to say all these things. He's 65 and was terrible at head coach the first time around.
Yeah, but come on, man.
That's exactly why.
Well, why was he terrible as a head coach the first time around? Why? Do you remember the circumstances of it?
He was 1-15.
The Rams they weren't a good team. He took it over. He wanted a shot. And it didn't work out for a million reasons.
He didn't have to go there.
Well, I mean, he got his opportunity. And that would be unfortunate if that's the way you look at it. I would take a shot. Didn't the Raiders talk to him too?
I don't.
Like, if I'm the Raiders, that wouldn't have been a bad choice.
I don't remember hearing his name at all.
Take him off the team.
And that's why I ask you.
I don't know if that's what he wants to do even.
I mean, at this point, the Bills should hire him. Like, to be honest.
Based upon what I was just saying, it kind of that would make sense, right? Like,
well, let's go to our friend back in Long Island. Connor in Long Island is back here on the program. How are you, Connor?
Rich and everyone in the studio. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Connor. How you been, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for letting me on. As always, I appreciate all.
Hey, brother, you got an off day at school today? What is it? Flex day? What are we calling?
Yeah.
What do you got today?
I think it's Lunar New Year is the reason for today's off day.
Okay.
Right. Yes, I was just gonna say last time we spoke. I mean, we were on the high. It was Super Bowl or bust. This team's winning 14, 13 games. We were talking about Hassan Reddick getting an extension, like 10 games this season.
Yes.
And we had one sack.
Is it the royal we, Connor? When you said we were on a high, are you referring to yourself as a we now? Or what do you got here, Connor? What is this?
Well, I guess I could say I was on a,
okay.
was on a high there. I mean, we're talking about I was expecting to see the first playoff game in my lifetime. That's what I was expecting at a minimum. Mm. But nope, it was a 5-win season yet again. Mm. No playoffs. Super, super frustrating. I thought Aaron Glenn, though, on the bright side, came in and absolutely killed that press conference. That was a move I've been on board with for a while now, just because since the day Robert Saleh got fired, I had a really strong feeling that it just made too much sense for Aaron Glenn not to be the team's next head coach. But now they have Aaron Glenn, they have Darren Muji in the building. So the coordinator talk is underway. Rich, I want to get your thoughts on the offensive coordinator job as a whole. There are some names that Nick Caley and Dan Orangstrand have really been the talk of the town recently. Two other names I think are pretty interesting. Brian Johnson, the Commanders assistant head coach, passing game coordinator, the former Eagles OC, and then Anthony Lynn. Obviously was on the Jets coaching staff in the mid-2000s when they went on those back-to-back AFC championship runs. Mm-hmm. Overlapped with Glenn for a little when Glenn was a scout and Lynn was a coach here under Rex Ryan. Just two interesting names I thought could be suited for the offensive coordinator role. And then when it comes to defensive coordinator, it's really interesting because now Aaron Glenn is not going to be calling plays. It's official now. He said he's not going to be calling defensive plays. So I think that leaves us, well, we're talking a lot about OC. Let's talk about DC here because I think we need someone who's really, really experienced. Steve Wilkes, I think, is an interesting name. So
well,
that's
let me
where
just jump
right
in here, Connor. Connor, let me jump in here for a second.
Yep.
These are all names. Great. I'm sure they're all candidates that Aaron Glenn will sift through and choose what he thinks is best. It all comes down to the quarterback spot, Connor. It's 100% down to the quarterback spot. You want Aaron Rodgers back, yes or no?
As of now, this current contract, where he stands, his current mentality, no. Because I am not in for paying someone $64 million in 2026. I'm not for taking that dead cap hit for him to come back next season after, yes, his touchdowns were in the top 10. Let's keep in mind, he still threw 11 interceptions and he finished second in the league's passing attempts. So you're prone to throw that many touchdowns. If he becomes the lowest paid quarterback in all of football alongside Geno Smith, and he's willing to learn a new offensive system, that's one of the keys. Willing to learn a new offensive system, yes, I want him back because I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers guy, but among the options on a reduced contract, I think he gives them the best chance to win. But if you're turning away coordinators because of him and he's not willing to take a pay cut and Garrett Wilson's getting pissed off because he's coming back, you have to move on. I think you have to roll with, you draft someone in round 4 or 5, a Kyle McCord, a Will Howard, a Dylan Gabriel. You have Tyrod Taylor on the roster, kind of Andy Dalton, Jacoby Brissett, Justin Fields in free agency. I understand that's not the
word.
Most attractive option.
Yeah, not much of it's attractive, Connor, but let's hope, and I appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of your off day. Call back, brother. Winning the press conference, I've seen that before. That coach then took him to 2 AFC championship games, and then the whole thing was overcapped and crapped out. You know, but winning the press conference is important, you know, certainly in New York City, and I'm glad he did. And I, you know, and you just heard a 13-year-old who is as locked in as any 13-year-old that you can chat with. And I have no idea of any of these offensive or defensive coordinators. And then what has to happen is Rodgers has got to tell the team by the end of the month. End of the month.
You can't really do anything until...
until he's declared.
Yeah, until there's...
what do you want to do? And then we'll talk about whether that's what we want to do. And then you figure out what do you do. How about Russell Wilson back with Pete Carroll and Sam Darnold back with the Jets? What do you think of that idea? How crazy would that be?
If I'm Sam Darnold, absolutely not.
You run away.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Both of those quarterbacks should want to stay where they are.
Yes.
That's both of what those quarterbacks should do. Man, this free agent quarterback market is light. And so is the draft. And this is not the time to want to figure out what the next step is. This is not a time to be in the quarterback market.
Can we get to the biggest takeaway from Connor's call? A day off for Lunar New Year?
Is that what happened?
These schools are just giving days off willy-nilly like it's Oprah.
Anytime Connor calls in, I feel so dumb in comparison.
Why?
That kid's
genius. He's locked
in,
man. He's locked in, and I think he wants to get into the profession. I think he's working on his craft. I think he's got a pod, right?
He does have a pod, yeah. He's doing great.
Let's go to Nick in Colorado Springs. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nick?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Rich.
You got it.
What's up, guys?
Yo, yo.
Hey.
Yo, what up, man?
Hey, listen, I don't think there's any way Russell Wilson goes to Las Vegas. Pete Carroll got out of that at the right time. I'm a Broncos fan. We had the Russell Wilson experience for a couple of years. Now the Raiders have had it for a year. I think Justin Fields started 4-2. And then the guy in Pittsburgh that makes all that money to make all the important decisions decided to put him on the bench in favor of Russell Wilson. And then he was high-fiving himself after one game for what a great decision it was. And then what did he lose? At 6 straight games to end the season? I mean, look, something happened, I think, with Tom Brady where he played at an extremely high level until his mid-40s. And then we thought, well, anybody can do that, or anybody can at least make it to 40 and play at a high level. But honestly, I just don't think that's a realistic expectation. I mean, what happened with Russell Wilson is he was great. Well, he was great for a lot of years in Seattle. And then, you know.
Well, one of the reasons why
Nick. You get a little older, the hits add up, the mileage adds up, the years add up, and, you know, you're just not that good anymore.
Well, I guess we got to find out. Like, we assumed, Nick, that Pete wanted out from Russ for various reasons, especially when everyone was talking about what Russ was doing in Denver in his first year and with offices and this and that, the other thing. And Pete wanted out because of that. And he was sick and tired of Russ. He was done with Russ's act and whatever. And then we would see photos of Pete and Russ, you know, at a dinner, right? Like I wouldn't buy into the narrative that the two of them can't get along. All right. And I know Pete bristled at the let Russ cook stuff because, and thanks for the call, Nick. I appreciate it. Then, you know, Pete always bristled at the let Russ cook stuff, and rightfully so, because who let Russ cook to begin with? You know what I mean? Who let Russ cook to begin with?
Well, Pete invited him in the kitchen.
You damn straight.
Thanks, Jake.
But he did not. I think he didn't want Russ at the price that Russ was going to want. Everyone knew that whoever acquired Russell Wilson would give him the contract that Denver gave him. And I don't think Seattle wanted to do that anymore. So now, though, I don't know. I mean, if the two of them get along and the two of them are at a different part of their career and you've got a young quarterback coming in and you want to teach them the way that they do things in the Carroll system, who better to do that? Is there another human who could do that better than this guy? And maybe Russ does want to compete with Herbert and Knicks and go against Denver twice a year and Mahomes. And he does get a shot to do it one more time while the kid that they draft marinates. I don't know. Crazy things have happened. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get some terrific advice and some terrific insight on what's going to go down in the Super Bowl here from a guy who called his shot that the Eagles and the Chiefs were going to play in the Super Bowl again, and he did it 2 years ago. Wait till you hear this. Joe Banner, longtime executive in this league, is next on the Rich Eisen Show. This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Now, taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you're a first-time filer or didn't file with TurboTax last year. That's right. Just do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. Had a few jobs last year? It's free. Have a lot of forms? Yep, still free. Have a bunch of new invisible crypto coins? Heads up, it's still free. Convinced you saw Bigfoot, even if your friends don't believe you? That has absolutely nothing to do with taxes, but you better believe it's still absolutely free. Just download and do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. All tax forms, all 100% free. Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in-app by February 18th. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Let's talk Live Good, people. We all take supplements, or at least we know we should. But why are so many supplement companies charging ridiculous prices for products that really aren't that special? It's frustrating. That's why I want to introduce you to Live Good, a brand that's turning the supplement industry on its head. Live Good believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by their industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. You're going to love it. Collagen peptides, energy endurance electrolytes, organic coffee. Yeah, coffee, organic super greens, protein powder, weight loss products, hormone products, skincare products, all highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Well, we'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and you can save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We got ourselves Joe Banner about to zoom in here to the show, and this is going to be a good one, guys. This perspective is pretty damn unique, to say the least. I'm looking up at the NFL Game Day morning promo. I mean, there's 20 faces on the screen for Super Sunday. Now, 8.5 hours, guys. I need to hydrate. I need to get ready for that one.
Need to stretch.
Oh, carb load, all of it.
Yeah. You don't want to pull a hammy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to do 9 hours of television with you guys. Actually, 12. No, pardon me, 10 hours.
10, 1 hour special.
Well, 1 hour special, yeah. Over the weekend.
Three full shows. Yep.
Three full shows with us.
Plus, we're going out, so we need energy for that.
I'm going to tie one on.
You know what I mean?
What are you tying on?
Everything. Everything.
Do you drink?
I will.
Will you?
Yeah.
I haven't been around him drinking.
I'm nice with it.
Have you?
You know, the
you
night, the night, the night,
I don't think I've ever.
The Thursday night.
We don't hang out.
Pardon me.
Germany.
We hung out. Hold on a second.
Sorry.
We hung out in Kansas City and in Germany.
Yeah.
And
I had one of them big, remember my beer glass?
Oh, that's right.
That
oh,
somehow you did made it sway.
I drank custom? The most at the Hofbrau House.
We were drank out from the night before when we were up till 6 in the morning watching Thursday Night Football.
Remember?
With my German friends.
If you can count your beers.
Remember I went
beers.
To the bar at 2:45 a.m.?
I didn't because I,
you
know.
You were in bed.
I wasn't doing that.
No.
I had a host.
I get loose when I'm out of town.
Our show is at 6 p.m.
Yeah. Brockman and I were walking every day and tell people, like, react, like, good morning. And it was like, wait a minute.
It was afternoon.
But I also had meetings throughout the day with the Panthers and the Giants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a professional.
In our defense, we were available for meetings, just didn't nobody want to have them.
We were available. We were definitely available.
We were hanging out at BMW.
We were available.
Look at the old cars.
You guys are fools. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Put up the tweet first. This was a tweet from our friend Joe Banner. Back in 2020, the Chiefs had just beaten, they had just beaten the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And Joe Banner says the Chiefs are the new Patriots. They have a great HC, QB, and GM, and every move they make is smart. Give Clark Hunt credit. Almost every owner has restricted team spending for now. Chiefs correctly saw the moment as an opportunity and kicked ass. This decade is theirs. Multiple SBs. What's his call there? Then
July 2020.
Right.
Wow.
As we know, they made the Super Bowl the next year but lost to Tom Brady's Bucks.
Yep.
Then we know they missed the Super Bowl the next year because Joe Burrow beat them in an AFC championship game. Then they got back, played the Eagles. And prior to that Super Bowl, certainly since Joe Banner hired Andy Reid and hired Howie Roseman, we had him on to talk about this Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs, Andy Reid's former team. Joe Banner's former team, Howie Roseman's current team, and Andy Reid's current team, in the Chiefs, and Brett Veach also part of this mix. And this is what Joe Banner had to say about the Eagles and the Chiefs about to play in the Super Bowl.
I've actually said to a couple of people who are like, could you believe that Andy is playing the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Could you ever imagine this? And I said, not only can I imagine it, but I'll bet it's not the last time they play each other in the Super Bowl. Look at their teams on this roster.
Right.
You know, they're incredibly young. They're well coached. They're smart. And they get people making the personnel decisions that haven't stopped doing smart things. So not only are they in it, I actually think it won't be the only time the two of them are matching up against each other in a Super Bowl.
Joining us now, Nostradamus himself, Joe Banner.
Well done, Joe.
Should have been in Vegas, right? Sitting at my house in Florida.
and here we are with Eagles Chiefs again. So let's just jump out. What smart moves did they make in the last year, do you think, that's led to you and your prophecy coming true here, Joe?
Well, they continued, is the first important point, because they were in good shape and then continue to make smart decisions. So what do? They both have team-building philosophies. They're very similar and, I think, really smart. You know, whatever it takes to get a top quarterback. I mean, you were there. When Mahomes was the pick, people were a little bit surprised, and the move was one of the most aggressive moves we've seen. The Eagles picked Hurts when we all thought they had the quarterback of the future in Wentz. And then they both created lines that dominate the game. And that does not win you a Super Bowl, but it gives you a huge head start and advantage on everybody else. They've managed their cap smart. They've replaced coaches to the left with other coaches that were as good. I mean, those are the key ingredients to winning. So I think all the boxes in terms of strong leadership, aggressive general managers, fearless about making mistakes, they don't worry about it. They just do what they believe in, and they're a very aggressive. They're progressive organizations, and here we are. One going to three-peat, and the other, I think it's their third Super Bowl appearance in either 6 or 7 years.
And in terms of the Eagles, obviously being able to get Saquon Barkley and plug him into their system that has been retooled in a way with Kellen Moore and Sirianni now taking on more of that CEO role, supposedly, with on offense and defense. But Barkley, Joe, I'd love to get your two cents on that maneuver, because most of us in the football world and certainly in the punditry world think that is one of the biggest mistakes we've ever seen by a franchise, to let Saquon walk. But, you know, the Giants have their own setup and their own concept of what works, and certainly, you know, might not have been able to use Saquon to the same effect based on what their standing was. What's your opinion of that Saquon maneuver, Joe?
I'm totally with you. Hard to understand and a huge mistake, which many thought it was at the time. Listen, here's the simple part of this. First, you draft him at 4. You knew in 5 years he was going to be really expensive. The only thing that changed is he had a lot of injuries. He looked like the star player you drafted when he was healthy and playing, even behind a very deficient offensive line for all of those years. And obviously, the Eagles provided reasons that he's more successful than he would have been if he stayed at the Giants. But the Eagles, and this goes back a long time, have never paid a running back a ton of money and never drafted one really high, but have always cherished running backs. I mean, when I got there, we traded for Gricky Waters. I mean, we had Deuce Staley. We drafted Brian Westbrook, Shady McCoy. By the way, re-signed three of the players I just mentioned to you at top-of-the-market running back deals, which has always been less than everything else. But here's the simple point. $12 million a year buys you a solid tight end, a solid safety, a decent guard. A good guard costs $21 million a year right now. A Pro Bowl guard is $21 million a year right now. So you take a guy that you know you're putting behind a great offensive line in a scheme that can be flexible and play run or pass and still be sticking to the core principles of the coaches. And you add a guy that's capable, if healthy, of being a top three running back in the NFL. I mean, my question is really, why weren't 31 other teams pursuing it? Because if you think of just the running back market, okay, $12 million is what the ballpark of a lot of people got. But guys like, you know, Chubb and Mixon, who are good players, but they're not Barkley at all, had gotten that kind of money 3 or 4 years ago. So I know the Eagles looked at it as a steal for what they were potentially getting. And the risk reward, so if they were wrong, he played well in some games, got hurt in other games, wasn't somebody they could count on consistently. Remember, they've been playing with mediocre running backs and going to the Super Bowl because they're effective in their system. They can impact the game both running and passing. The biggest play of the game against the Rams, by the way, was a 3rd and 14 from the 4-yard line. They threw Barkley a screen pass. He gets the first down. They happen to hit the Rams blitzing. I mean, these are the things that he brings for $12 million a year. We have guys that were signed up to make $8, $10, $12 million a year. And what do the Giants do with the money? They signed, I would say, an okay guard who didn't even play that great. I mean, how do you make that choice? We're going to use this money, and they desperately need to improve the offensive line then and now. But the mystery to me is, one, what you said, what were the Giants thinking? How do they rationalize this? I understand they knew they weren't going to be good for a few years. But there was reason to think that if he could stay healthy 2, 3, 4 years from now, he could still be contributing. In the meantime, he provides you all the advantages of his leadership, his ability to keep your defense off the field, you know, forcing the defense to play you a certain way that with somebody like Jones at quarterback was really advantageous. But I'm also like, where were all the other teams in the league? How did this guy not get meaningful money in a structure that maybe protect the team a little bit, but gave you an opportunity to have a top three running back? I really think the answer is top one, but I'm trying to be generous and say top three in a running back in the entire league.
Joe Banner here on the Rich Eisen Show, longtime Philadelphia Eagles president and front office executive in the National Football League. I mean, Andy Reid wasn't even a coordinator when you took him and said, let's get him as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Did you need to convince ownership? Like what did you like? Let's hit the way back machine on a guy that now has 301 career coaching wins, Joe Banner.
Yeah. When we decided we're going to make a coaching change, Jeff empowered me to kind of put together a list of who I thought we should interview and why. And I did something really simple, but because this kind of a traditional way of thinking in the league, no one had done it. We took all the head coaches that had been to 2 Super Bowls, which to us that defined them as elite coaches. And we did studies and talked to 1 million people what they may have in common that we should be looking for an ex-coach. The funny part of it was it had nothing to do with football. The similarities, they were offensive guys, defensive guys, aggressive guys, run, pass, blitz. There was no like, oh, if you do this. But what there was a description of their quality and their character that was shockingly similar. Some of it obvious. They were phenomenal leaders. Some of it probably less obvious, but most people would realize crucial that you hire great coaches and manage them well. But then there were some subtler things like they were all attention-obsessed people. Their attention to detail drove everybody around them crazy, like every little thing. I mean, Andy's been called kind of a control freak. It's really not the right description of him because he's extremely collaborative. But he got that description because every single, what time do we do this? You know, when do we do it? You know, everything is planned so far in advance to every little detail. And he's involved in every one of those details. But he's very collaborative. So I never viewed him as being kind of a control-oriented person. But his attention to the detail, the thoroughness of everything we did, every piece of research, everything like that was, you know, in fact, it drove everybody around him crazy. He would ever work with everybody we called before we hired him. We asked about him. The first thing or the second thing out of their mouth was, oh, my God, he's so obsessed with every little detail. He drives everybody around him crazy. And we lit up because we had identified that as exactly what we were looking for when we heard that description. Other people thought they were actually saying something that was negative, like he'd be hard to work with. And we were like, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what we're looking for. So we didn't get stuck on the traditional. He hasn't been a coordinator. He'd never been a head coach at any level. We were just looking for this series of characteristics. By the way, the Eagles still do that. They haven't had somebody who's lasted as long. But if you look at the coaches, for the most part, they at least hired them believing that that same set of qualities is what they had. So we weren't worried when we hired Andy, even though it was not popular and highly criticized. In fact, in Philadelphia, we were accused of hiring just because we would pay him less since he'd never been a coordinator. Mm-hmm. The truth is we made the highest paid first-time head coach in the history of the game. But that was the criticism at the time. But we had 4 or 5 things. We're going to find this in somebody. We found it in Andy, and we proceeded without a whole lot of anxiety.
So do you think that that was part of the hiring of Sirianni in Philadelphia?
I mean, Sirianni isn't the same as Andy. And I think it's funny because he doesn't really look the part. So I think people underestimate him. But they perceived him as somebody that was detail-oriented, focused on hiring really good coaches and managing them. I mean, they had limited success before he started losing coaches to become head coaches. And they made a misstep in the original replacements. By the second year after those original coaches left, he's replaced the people on the staff with coaches as good or better. I mean, those are the things that differentiate. You watch the hires right now. More important than watching the hires right now, watch who they hire as their coordinators. And you'll do a pretty good job yourself, and even the average fan, of predicting which one of them will be the most successful.
So which one, let's do that right here, Joe Banner. Your opinion of the hires, which one that you've seen that you're like, okay, that one's the best one or the best fit, or I can see it. Which one is the one that leaps out at you so far?
So I'd like to have a brilliant, you know, answer that no one has said before, but the answer is obviously Vrabel. I mean, you talk about leadership, you talk about the ability to hire coaches, manage coaches, attention to detail. Those are all Vrabel. Now, I don't think it was a great year for options. So after that, for me, it gets very challenging. I do think Aaron Glenn's very intriguing. Had the chance to meet him, the presence, the leadership, that's all there. He's not hiring coaches quickly, and they hired him a little late. So I'm anxious to see what happens there. Some of the rumors, I think, are decent. I know that they spoke to Kaylee, the Rams, and they're interested in Wilkes. I think those are both solid choices. But to me, that's the best of the group. I mean, you know, again, we haven't seen, you know, who's Cohn going to hire in Jacksonville. We don't even know who's going to be the general manager there. So the rest of them leave me worried. And frankly, they're in franchises for the most part that have a long history of not succeeding.
What about
Ben Johnson? There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Is a spectacular offensive mind. But we got to see, can he do all the rest of the things as a head coach? You know, he waited a year to take a head coaching position and probably went into the market in a year where the options weren't as good. But, you know, there's no doubt Bears ownership wants to win. He'll invest the money that's needed. You know, I heard a lot of good things about polls coming out of Kansas City, but I don't want to say the track record so far is great. Caleb Williams, I have some concern about, but, you know, certainly there's some potential upside there. So I'm not sure when we look back, it's going to have been a great crop of hires. Or teams that were actually looking. I would have, if I was representing somebody, if I was confident that an opportunity would present itself again in the future, I probably would have encouraged them to wait.
No kidding. So what did you make of Brady's hire of Pete Carroll, Joe?
You know, I think if he was building a bridge to get the culture right, to start to make smart decisions and move in the right direction, I think it's a very smart move. Do I think in the next 2, 3, 4 years that Pete's likely to coach, that we're going to see them, you know, say in the Final Four? I think that's very unlikely. But I think that their goals weren't like, who's going to hire today that's going to get us to the Super Bowl the fastest? I think they realize they have a transition step here. I think that was a good hire in that context. I also, John Spytek worked for the Eagles many years ago. So I think he has the right mindset. I think he knows the difference between why some teams are succeeding and some teams aren't. I think they reflected some of that in the way they built Tampa. So I'm hopeful. It's a long time since he was with the Eagles, but I'm hopeful from what I saw and what he's done in Tampa and what he was taught when he learned was in Philly at the time, that could prove to be a good hire there that's more long-term.
And it's interesting, Joe Banner here on the Rich Eisen Show, that you said when you hired Andy Reid in Philadelphia, part of the local talk was, you didn't want to pay the guy, so you got the guy. And that is part of the conversation about Jerry Jones in Dallas right now with Brian Schottenheimer. I give you the floor on that hire. What do you think there?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I don't mean to take a shot at Brian. At the time, he's fulfilling a dream that I'm sure he's had since he was born and saw his dad in this position. I mean, when I think of the criteria that I've defined and what I talked about the Eagles looking for, it's not the direction I would have gone. But we'll see. We obviously have surprises in both directions. I do think he's got a better roster than it looked like they had this year, but there's obviously challenges in the roster, and there's challenges just being in Dallas. But it's not the direction I would have chosen if I was making the hire.
What two unsolicited cents would you give the Bills, who keep seeming to run into Reed and Mahomes in a way that doesn't bode well, right? I mean, we've been talking here, Joe, over the last few days. This is like Ewing or Drexler, you know, in the or Karl Malone in the era of Jordan, or everybody else in the era of Tiger. It's what it looks like in the AFC right now, if not the entire NFL writ large. But what advice do you give to the Bills, Joe?
I mean, first of all, I'm probably the least qualified person to answer this because, you know, when we had Andy, we went to 5 championship games in 8 years and we never won a Super Bowl. So I've been right where Sean is, and I feel terrible because Sean's a great guy. But you know, we never figured out the answer when he was there. You know, it probably wasn't the same thing. I mean, some years, you know, Donovan got hurt a couple of years in the playoffs, but Westbrook got hurt, you know, and we went into a Super Bowl and played a lot of dime defense, which we had never played. And the Patriots scored a few touchdowns. And I'm sure we made a few cap mistakes and personnel mistakes that maybe would have put us over the top. So I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer this, but I would encourage him to keep moving and being more aggressive. You know, Sean started as a defensive coach with a fairly conservative mindset about offense. He's evolved a lot over the years, and he even started, frankly, as a more aggressive offensive-minded defensive coach than I would have expected. And I think they need to keep moving that direction. They ran the ball more this year, and they ran it very successfully. But the reality is running the ball has a lot of good purposes, but it is not the best way to score the most points the fastest. The way to do that is throwing the ball. I use this stat all the time. I'm surprised it's never stuck, but just short of 80% of games are won by the team that's ahead at halftime. It varies from year to year to a low of about 74 to a high of about 80. So if you run the ball a lot early, you know, the old days of, you know, wear them down, run the ball, some play action passing works. The reality is the numbers say the opposite is true. And most teams that are winning, you watched even the Eagles, who are clearly now a run-based team, but they came out last week, I think it was 11 passes to 6 runs, and one of the runs was a tush push. Now, I know Barkley broke the first play of the game for a touchdown, but, you know, it was clear their game plan was to pass a little bit more than was expected. And I'd be surprised if you don't see that in the Super Bowl, because they know how important it is to get the lead and how much more likely you are to do that throwing early. So I don't have a lot of criticisms of Sean. I think he's a great coach. I think he's generally had a good staff. I would encourage him to be even more aggressive in trying to dominate the game early, get the lead, and play as much of the game as possible with a lead. Other than that, I'm not sure. I mean, I went through the same thing, kept trying to figure it out, and honestly never succeeded.
Interesting. Man, before I let you go, Joe, what do you think happens in Super Bowl 59? What do you think?
You know, here. I think it's a very interesting game. I think that the another stat that isn't really out there that much is the Eagles beat nickel defenses at a rate that I'm not sure I've ever seen. I mean, I think this is shocking. Barkley averages 5.2 yards per carry against nickel. He only averages 3.8 yards per carry against any other defense. But this is more shocking. The Eagles are ninth in the league passing against nickel. And they're 22nd in the league passing against anything else. So I've never seen a team that was better passing against nickel than they were against non-nickel. The whole concept of nickel is that it slows down the pass. And it's very hard to not play them in nickel because they got so many weapons. So I actually think this is very dependent upon the game plan as to who wins this game. I think if the Chiefs do what they do very well, which is confuse the offense and mix things up and don't always play nickel when it looks obvious, then I think there's a real good chance they win. I think if they don't do that, the Eagles will score enough points and the defense is good enough, it'll be hard for Kansas City to beat them.
And do the Eagles and Chiefs play in another Super Bowl?
They do.
You do think so, huh? This is all the second of more to come. You really
I'll be
think
back
so?
In 2 to 3 years no. for you to play the second bit.
Well, keep that crystal ball ready. I'd love to have you throughout the obviously the draft and the talent evaluation process that we're about to enter. Joe, really appreciate it. Great catching up with you. Always love getting your insights. Thank you.
Same here.
Right,
be well.
But it's Joe Banner, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I love that chat right there. It's just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. A lot of smart talk right there. So it's going to be game plan dependent, which is why you're supposed to hire Steve Spagnuolo away from the Kansas City Chiefs, right, TJ Jefferson?
I'm just saying.
That's why you do it. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, boy, can't wait to talk about this. Oh, the Mets have another guy who's an expert on New York sports. Who knew? Who knew? Rich Ackerman, in the meantime, with a sports update. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell, right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My sleep number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Love Hurts. Kiwi Kwan has had quite a career, from childhood roles in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and the Goonies to a recent Academy Award win for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But now, Ki finally stars as a leading man in the film Love Hurts. Love Hurts is the perfect date night movie with its mix of over-the-top action, comedy, and a ton of heart. Love Hurts, only at theaters February 7th.
We had Jerry on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Larry, and I asked him how come Steinbrenner himself never appeared on Seinfeld. And he said Steinbrenner shot a scene, but it was so bad you cut it. Is that a true story?
True story, yeah.
What was so bad about it?
We brought him out, I think, for the last show of the 95 season. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure when it was, but... He flew out on his private jet to do the show and flew back that day. And okay, he did it. And then I go into editing and I'm watching the show. And oh my God, he was so awful. He was so bad. It was, you couldn't use it. It was much better from behind with my voice, you know, than actually seeing the real guy doing it.
Right. So that was a scene where he was with Costanza?
He was with Elaine in a restaurant, I think.
Okay.
And I had to call him up and tell him he was cut.
How did that go?
I called Yankee Stadium. I said, I want to talk to Mr. Steinbrenner. It's Larry David. He got on the phone. Yeah. I said, Mr. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David calling from the Seinfeld show. Yes, yes, Larry, what is it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, come on, you can tell me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. You know?
But you slip back in that voice.
Yeah, like right. I slip right back in, right. And I said, I've been cut from the show. And I said, it's not your fault, but it's just, you know, the scene wasn't working. And that was it.
How did he take it?
He was a big boy. He took it well.
So he told you how he was going to take it. And he actually took it. George Steinbrenner and Elaine. Wow. I would never have guessed. I would have thought that there would have to have been a Costanza George moment.
I know there was an Elaine scene. I don't know. There may have been a George scene. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
How did you enjoy playing Steinbrenner? Did you have a blast doing that?
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
What's your favorite one where you were Steinbrenner? What was it?
I think probably something. I remember the calzones.
The calzones.
Yeah.
George had to get the calzones.
Yeah, the calzones. Yeah.
That's as great as it gets, man. I think I saw the scene the other day on my Instagram feed. Somebody popped it up. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny.
The deleted scene?
Yes.
The one they didn't know about using? Oh,
it was a deleted scene.
That's cool.
I've never seen it before. It was Steinbrenner talking to Elaine, and Elaine had her back to the camera talking in his cadence to him. And he walked, you know, and he kind of got taken aback or overwhelmed or bored with the conversation and walked away from Elaine. It wasn't funny. But it was George in the dickie, in the white dickie, in the blue blazer.
Where his instincts, right on.
So are you going over what Joe Banner just told us about the stat that 75 to 80% of teams leading at halftime win football games?
Yeah, so I'm doing it for all the Super Bowls. I'm about halfway done.
All
right
of
now.
Them?
I'm doing every Super Bowl. I want to see what it is.
How about you do this?
I'm halfway done.
And then we'll end the show with it.
Okay, great. I should be done in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's fine. So the show end is a little bit over 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. I only need TJ for the next segment anyway.
No.
More nonsense from Queens. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio. Listen. The Mets are acquiring an absolute ton. They are cornering the market on people who have no idea what they're talking about the sports scene in New York City and talking declaratively with absolutely no sense at all. Juan Soto, Mr. New York, spent 1 year in New York talking about New York being a Mets town.
Now, had he said it was a Yankees town, it would have been fine, though, right?
Well, I mean, I understand he's not a Yankee anymore. That's fine.
Didn't we have a talk about that picture?
What is it? It's pot belly?
Didn't we talk about this on a group chat that we weren't going to like? Do
well,
that?
I mean, this is the real photo. It's not the it's not the doctored one that got put up somehow.
I don't know.
But him saying it's a Yankee, you know, it's a Mets town. Okay, pal. You've been around literally for 6 months.
I mean, that's enough time for him to gauge.
By the way,
he's
playing a World Series in New York City. Okay.
Yeah, and he knew.
All right. Played six games against the Mets.
And he felt that. Right. The energy was palpable, bro.
You sent this, Chris, on a text chain amongst all of us, and I'm like, who is AJ Minter? Who is he?
Oh, the GOAT.
Was it rhetorical, though?
Who is he?
He was a pitcher. He pitched for the Braves. Now he's on the Mets.
Oh, yeah. Who the hell is Tim Horton?
Is he from New York?
I'm not sure. Strikes me as a Southern boy.
Roll it.
You can tell, I mean, these Mets fans, I mean, these are truly baseball fans. They get baseball, not like the other side of town where those guys.
This man knows.
No, but you can tell. These are the true diehard fans, and they truly, they're going to be with you till the end. So, got to, you know, face against y'all my whole career, and y'all always brought it every time. So we can't wait to, you know, pitch for y'all now.
Yeah, that's exactly how we talk in New York. Can't wait to play for y'all. That's how we talk in New York. Yeah, y'all are so good. He's from Tyler, Texas. Played for Texas A&M. Oh, hold on a minute. Here you go. This is where he learned it. He played for the Florida Fire Frogs and then the Mississippi Braves. That's where he picked up his sense of what's a real New York sports fan. My bad. Sorry, AJ. You know what? We got our own lefty from the Braves who might have a say or two about what's the real thing in New York or not this year. There's a lot of checks being written across the tri-borough, pal.
Yeah, well, when your checkbook is as big as Stevie's, you can write
no,
these checks.
No, I meant with a mouth. With a mouth.
But then he signed with his feather pen.
With a mouth. With a mouth.
Pause.
Okay. Nonsense.
Love it. I love it.
Insanity.
You got to love it. Why not?
Why, you got to love it.
Let's start something.
What do I love? We might start something. You're the one who started it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm fine with that. Big brother
Yankee
can't always be big brother.
Yankee
right?
fans are the Fergazi fans that aren't really into baseball. We don't understand it. We don't get it. We don't appreciate it. I'm sorry. The Mets fans.
I'm sorry.
The real ones in New York City, according to A.J. Minter.
A.J. Minter. He knows these things.
Not even the best lefty from Atlanta playing in New York baseball scene.
According to
everyone? Oh, let me turn to the Braves guy here.
He's busy looking up
whose left
stats.
Hand do you want the baseball? Chris?
Max Fried.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. When do the Yankees play the Mets? Oh, my God.
Going as fast as I can.
You have to go fast. Don't worry about it.
I'm a Super Bowl 43. I'm almost there.
I mean, you haven't beaten us in a while.
Okay,
so
pal.
I don't know why you want to play.
All right.
The Mets. You know what I mean? That's just an L.
All the experts on the New York sports scene: Mike Francesa, Mad Dog Russo, Michael Kay, AJ Minter, and Juan Soto. Those are the five.
That's pretty.
Those are the five. That's who I want to rely on.
You don't know what's going on there.
That's who I want to rely on. They're really savvy. They're locked in.
Hey, they know.
Y'all.
They know.
We'll see y'all on Thursday. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast. You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
The guy.
I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to. Come react or overreact with us.
Overreaction Monday. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
It's game over.
Over, man.